Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hello, this is Harris. I have a strange little podcast called Sleep Whispers. I simply whisper, and it helps my listeners to relax and fall asleep. So, what do I whisper about? Well, I'll tell you, but I'll do it in a whisper. I read bedtime stories, poems, guided meditations, fun trivia questions, and even curious Wikipedia articles about history, science, and pop culture. If you find this relaxing, then just search for Sleep Whispers in your podcast app. Thanks.
Gunslingers, Gamblers, and Ghosts. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town. Today's episode of Ghost Town, we're coming back to America and continuing west to the La Fonda on the Plaza Hotel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The location of where the La Fonda stands now has been the site of inns since 1609, 2 years after Santa Fe itself was founded. This is pretty insane by American standards, especially insane by American West standards. The hotel sits on two very powerful historic routes, 280 years apart. The first one is the El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, in English, the Royal Road of the Interior Land, which was a 1,500-mile trade route between Mexico City and New Mexico from 1598 to the late 1800s. In 1821, Captain William Becknell and his party found their way to the inn during a trip across the plains from Missouri, establishing the very end of an 800-mile-long old Santa Fe Trail, linking Independence, Missouri to Santa Fe. The Santa Fe Trail was an essential commercial route up until 1880, with the rise of the railroad. This hotel was a popular lodging option, probably one of the only ones, among trappers, soldiers, miners, and politicians, enduring adventures through the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, the coming of the railroads, and New Mexico's new statehood. Its 46 through 55 rooms, depending on the time period, bar, and entertainment area became an important part of Santa Fe history. According to local belief, Santa Fe residents used to use the hotel as a kind of court. Most of us don't have the pleasure of sleeping in our local courthouse, and here's a violent fact. People found guilty were routinely hanged in what is now the hotel's lobby. So the La Fonda was popular, very popular, not only as like a town hall type place, but in the years that followed as a hub for high-risk types. Think Old West gunslingers, thieves, and gamblers. In 1848, the inn was sold. Its name was changed to the United States Hotel, but nicknamed La Fonda Americana by locals. Everyone's favorite part of the hotel was its gambling hall, where military officers and pro gamblers would hang out, get drunk, and play. The saloon/drinking hall was the second biggest attraction at the hotel. At this point, the La Fonda became a pretty dangerous place, with emotions running high. Gunfights and brawls were not uncommon. In 1857, after a night of gambling, a man was hanged in the hotel's backyard. Ooh! 10 years later, in 1867, the Honorable John P. Slough, Chief Justice of the Territorial Supreme Court, was shot to death in the hotel lobby. Slough was in a fight with a guy named Captain Reinerson, a member of the territorial legislature representing Dona Ana County. Slough called Reinerson a liar and a thief, so Reinerson shot him. Slough bled out slowly, eventually dying on the floor. Though Reinerson was tried, he was later acquitted. Around this same time, the hotel was sold again and was renamed the Exchange Hotel, the name under which it operated for nearly 6 decades. But first, before all those decades, well, most of them, it would burn down mysteriously in 1912. I found no further information on that, and it seemed, according to my research, to be no big deal. In 1922, the hotel was rebuilt and expanded, and the Santa Fe style was born. It drew inspiration from the adobe architecture of indigenous Pueblo people of the region. The new hotel was hailed as, quote, the purest Santa Fe type of architecture and one of the most truly distinctive hotels anywhere between Chicago and San Diego. It was pretty much as it looks today. In 1925, the building changed hands again when it was bought by Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway, and leased to the infamous Fred Harvey. Harvey was kind of a rags-to-riches story. He was just 15 years old when he emigrated to the United States from Liverpool, working his way up from dishwasher to restaurant owner. Seeing opportunity because the food around the train was, well, annoying to stop at and pretty bad, he founded the world's very first chain restaurant, the Harvey House. Thank you, Fred Harvey. Along the train's Santa Fe route. And that's all well and good and a part of Americana, but more noteworthy than founding the first chain restaurant, I know, was the chain's signature employee, the Harvey Girl. Harvey girls were exceptionally obedient, deferential, beautiful, and well-trained, the Stepford-style waitresses of the restaurant who became kind of celebrities in their own right. At the turn of the century, if you were a woman, your job prospects were pretty narrow. You could be a teacher, a mother, a housekeeper, or a sex worker. But Harvey began to recruit girls via newspaper ads across the nation for a new type of job. The ad asked for a woman of good moral character, well-mannered, attractive, and intelligent, with at least an 8th-grade education. If you were selected, based on lots of photos and letters about your manners, I presume, you began a new and modern life. Think flight attendant-style glamour, but with trains. These girls, which was true, some of them were teenagers, seemed like they had a pretty good deal. They were paid a good wage at $17.50 per month, got a free train ticket to their restaurant from wherever they lived at the time, and became the it girls of their pretty rural destinations. If selected for this great job opportunity, the Harvey girls really had to drink the Harvey House Kool-Aid. They were locked in strict contracts for at least 6 months, had to live together in dorms, where only the strange nursemaid uniform of the restaurant, it was a black dress with a white bib, complete with a giant bow hairpiece, it's very nursemaid-y, and had to follow a lot of strict rules. Some of these rules? They were not to look or talk to each other while they were working. It was mandatory that they compliment all children in the restaurant. And under no circumstances, no, were they ever to marry while they were working for the Harvey House. The cult of the Harvey girl and the Harvey House in general stayed strong well into the 30s and 40s, and the La Fonda remained a Harvey House hotel until 1968, when it passed through a couple local business people's hands and now is owned by Sienda Partners, a Dallas-based developer. Ugh, ain't it the way. It's still the crown jewel, I'd say, of downtown Santa Fe, and was an absolute pleasure to stay in. You are really transported when you're there to a beautiful, comfortable clash of cultures, if I can say that. Anyway, despite not being locally owned, we've got some great homegrown ghosts to discuss after the break.
There's a brand new water out there. I bet you're thinking, we don't need another brand of water out there. That's where you're wrong. Dead wrong. You may start noticing cans that look like tall boys of beer in the water section of your local stores. Well, it's not beer. It's mountain spring water from the Alps called Liquid Death. Why is it called Liquid Death? Because it will murder your thirst, and the tall boy cans are infinitely recyclable and will bring death to the plastic bottle. Liquid Death donates 10% of profits every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. Plastic isn't actually recyclable anymore. Most plastic you throw away in a recycling bin actually just gets sent to a landfill because it's not profitable to recycle. Aluminum is infinitely recyclable and actually profitable for the recycling facilities. I love drinking from an ice-cold aluminum can. It's just better. It does look just like a beer, but it's not. It's Mountain Spring water. And if I'm being honest, chugging a liquid death is the only time I look or feel cool. If you sell your soul, which is just giving your email address, and joining the Liquid Death Country Club, you'll receive a free t-shirt with your purchase of water. Just go to www.liquiddeath.com/ghosttown. Get free shipping on all water and merch at liquiddeath.com/ghosttown. Free shipping is valid on 2 cases of water or more. That's liquiddeath.com/ghosttown. Or grab some at Whole Foods and 7-Eleven. Hi, hello, how are you doing?
Hello.
We hope you are well. We want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our patrons and to our government. The mayors. Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
David Bull.
Hello.
Joshua Lambert.
Hello.
Dara Rosenzweig.
Hello.
And James Harrington.
Hello.
And our fearless leader, sitting in her ghost town mansion, paid for by the taxpayers, Avian Noble.
Hello.
So if you want early access with no chit-chat or ads, bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Okay, we're back. The La Fonda on the Plaza is now very, very famous for its ghosts. Again, it's this historical mainstay in the middle of downtown Santa Fe. It's gorgeous. It's well-maintained. People would go there anyway. But its ghostly identity is truly haunting. We, of course, start out with the tactless but honorable Judge Slough, who continues to walk its hallways in his long black coat. More often than the judge, however, is the ghost of a distraught salesman who jumped into a well that used to be on the grounds after losing all of his company's money. We don't know the identity of this person, but we do know where the well was. The hotel's dining room, called La Pozuela, is situated directly over the old well, and both guests and staff alike have reported the sight of a ghostly figure that walks in the center of the room, then seemingly jumps into the floor and disappears. There's also a mysterious railroad engineer named Buchanan who likes to just hang out at the hotel. You can't often see him, but you can smell his cigar smoke in the hallways and corridors. There's also a ghost that supposedly haunts the hotel's wedding suite, room 510. Legend has it she was murdered on her wedding night by an ex-lover. You've got to have one of those ghosts for a hotel. It's very on brand. Then there's a happy young girl, most commonly seen around the lobby and the staircase. People in the lobby can hear her giggling as they walk by, and she'll often try to play games with guests like peekaboo. There's a cowboy gambler ghost who haunts the bar, of course, but most terrifyingly manifests as the shape of sleeping people in the beds of unoccupied rooms. And then there are all the Harvey girl ghosts. Some say their ghosts stay at the hotel because of distress. One named Rachel is seen around the hotel. She either killed herself or pined away from grief when her soldier boyfriend died. But others say the Harvey girls stay around because they were kind of famous and want to stay there. A lot of people say, or like mediums will come by and feel this residual energy of Harvey girls, very active energy, very positive energy. They can be seen around the hotel in their signature outfits, working, serving, walking a path between the kitchen and the dining hall, being obedient, subservient, and smiling. Want to stay at the La Fonda on the Plaza? You'll have to have like $300 to $800 a night, which is not cheap. But guests attest to experiencing vague feelings of uneasiness, being watched, and unexplainable cold spots at no extra charge.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway, Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.